How's everybody doing this morning? All right. Well, good. You know, I started off this morning a little dismayed because, I've got everything out in Siloam now. So that puts a special burden on my memory to not forget anything. And so I forgot my belt. I'm not wearing a belt, which is some concern. I've got a waistline that's like expanding into the cosmos, and so the button on these trousers are under great pressure, and should a button come loose, it could take off like a bullet. So I'm going to stay behind this podium, so you don't have to worry about that, okay? But then I found something that I thought I had lost and was looking for it. Now, some of you that were in the service, you probably understand this, but this is a service coin. And I have one. I was awarded this by the commander of the 56th Force Support Squad, Force Base. And something I never thought would ever happen because I've never been active duty military. I was a civilian out there. Working at the youth center at Luke Air Force Base, at least that's the cover for what I was really doing, but it's a matter of national security, and I can't go into that. But in any event, so I was happy to find that. And I won't go into the story about how I got it, but it was something I never expected, you know. And our commander was a lieutenant colonel, as a matter of fact. My day is really good. And you know what? This is a special Sunday morning because our lesson today is the final lesson in our long series on the fiery trial of your faith. And so I hope that it's been a blessing to you, to me. I mean, I think the Lord has spoken to me through this as much as anybody. And so we'll conclude this lesson series today. And then next week, it'll be something different. I'll have a short series, but I can't tell you what it is. You just got to be here next Sunday to find out, okay? So I just want to tease it a little bit. But I will say this, though. We will be still continuing to use this book as our text, okay? So... Tony says. All right, let's bow for prayer and then we'll get started. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for this special time that comes every week, Sunday school, Father. Help us to just really try to get as much out of your word as we can. Help us, Lord, to personalize it, to apply it to our lives. And Father, I just pray that you'd help me to give this lesson this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, it's the fire of trials, as I think we've discussed, that separates the dross from the pure gold and thus makes it more durable and valuable. I used to have some gold. I had a gold Krugerrand, 1 ounce, and it says 0.999 fine. Okay, and so it had been refined to a pure level, undoubtedly having gone through some fire to get to that point. and if you have gold, by the way, it just keeps going up in value, right? And they do this, and it's interesting is that it's the impurities that are in the gold that weaken the metal. And so once the impurities are taken out, it's much stronger. And so it is with us, when God can refine us and drive out the impurities, makes us stronger spiritually. Now this morning, we're actually going to start out in 2 Timothy chapter 2, so if you can turn there. But we will go to 1 Peter chapter 5 shortly thereafter. But 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 21. Let's see, here we go. All right. It says this. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Okay? Now, I think every good work, you know, the first thing that I think of is service in the local church. You know, God does just about everything through the local church. And, you know, as I was explaining to her at one point, you know, I was kind of telling him, you know, there's certain steps, you know, that you go through. You got saved, praise the Lord. Baptized, praise the Lord. Then I told him, you know what, you need to find a good church and join it. Now I can recommend one. And so he did, you know. You know, but then after you've done that, what's next? You know, pray about it, find a place of service. And there's plenty of places to serve. I remember after I got saved, it was 100 years ago when I was 17, and the first ministry that I served in was the cleaning ministry. Yeah, the cleaning ministry. And what's that? Good choice. You know, I think that, you know, my mother was probably surprised by that and wanted me to apply my newfound skill to the house. But, and then the next one right after that was soul winning, is what we called it. And that was an adventure. I mean, being a new Christian, and I went with, you know, an older Christian, you know, and you know, it was great. But we need to be prepared for service. We need to be prepared to do good works, okay? And, you know, we come here to get equipped so that we can go out and try to reach a lost and dying world, okay? But it's not just what we learn here, but how we apply it to our lives. And sometimes it, you know, it takes God working through us and perhaps even through trials to drive out any impurities, you know? And it's not necessarily always because of, you know, like, because you committed some deep, dark sin. And hopefully you're not, but, you know, but still, there's always room for improvement, okay? Because we're not going to be perfect until we're in glory. So he always has something that he can work on in our lives. In Job 16:12, Job writes under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, I was in his, but he hath broken me asunder. He hath also taken me by my neck and shaken me to pieces and set me up for his mark. A.W. Tozer said, the Holy Spirit never enters a man's life without convicting him of sin. Okay? So, if ever you feel convicted, well, that's just a sign that, you know what, you're one of his. But, you know, you look around the church and you may notice those in the congregation or maybe visiting pastors and missionaries that have gone through severe trials. And, you know, you consider that. They seem to be strong Christians, wouldn't you say? I mean, you know, strong Christians have gone through strong trials. And they've been strengthened by walking through the fire. And none of us likes this process, you know. I mean, nobody's going to say, you know, praise God, I'm going through a fiery trial right now. No, it doesn't happen. But you know in the back of your mind, okay, and hopefully, you know, as you're praying about it, that, you know what, God's in control. God's in control. He knows what the outcome is going to be, and I just need to put my faith and trust in him. So none of us really like the process, but the product is certainly desirable. Now, many of you know that I used to do a lot of off-road driving in my Jeep. And there's a lot of rough trails in Arizona. And these trails, these rugged and rough trails, they have names like Broken Axle Trail and the Backbreaker, Widowmaker, the Terminator, and Die Hard, okay? And these trails often involve large rocks and boulders and narrow shelf roads with steep cliffs and even water obstacles. And in the jeeping world, we never really call anything a barrier. It's just an obstacle to overcome. And it's not uncommon for the Jeep to get all scratched up. You know that Arizona pinstriping, okay? And it can get dented and damaged in other ways. In my own personal experience, I've dented the tailpipe, I've cracked the exhaust manifold, and I've cracked the casing around the front differential, among other things. A Jeep may return from the trails and the trials with some wear and tear, but it has fulfilled its purpose. It has gotten me safely through those trials, okay? And the point here is that victory doesn't mean untouched, okay? But it does mean still standing, okay? Still standing. Let's turn over to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, and there we go. And we've looked at this verse before, but I want to read it again. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. Okay. I want to kind of focus on that, those last two words, settle you. We might use phrases like calm down or settle down. When the farmer would sift the grain from the chaff would be blown away, and what would happen? The grain would settle down into the bin. And that's kind of how that works. Now, in Luke chapter 22, verses 31 and 32, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. So when the trial or the persecution... All the dross in our lives is gone. But the things that matter have settled down into our character. Okay? And that's, I think the purpose of these trials. And having settled into our character, it becomes more rooted in our lives from that point on. It's that pure grain that God can now use in his harvest, and that's what he's trying to do. As I've said before, there's a lost and dying world out there. We have to reach it. You are an ambassador for Christ. Okay, you are an ambassador, and I'm an ambassador. We cannot be negligent in our duties. Our heavenly commander in chief has given us a great commission, and we need to be prepared to go out and fulfill it. So let me ask you this. Do you feel the heat? Do you feel like you're in fire? Are you walking through a fire in your life today? Well, you can take comfort in God's word, okay? Trouble came to three Hebrew young men by the names of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I'm sure you're familiar with the story. A law had been passed requiring them to bow down to an image that represented a false God, or they could do that, or be cast into a burning, fiery furnace, okay? And so turn with me, if you will, to Daniel chapter 3. I'm going to take a look at just a part of this story, Daniel chapter 3, and we'll start in verse 21 and go through verse 25. Here's what it says. Here's the account of this. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, and their hats, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, Did not we cast three men bound in the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, True, O king. He answered and said, Lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Okay? Can you just imagine what a sight that would have been? Now, you know, what's interesting is, you know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, okay, they were followers of God, okay? And what did he do? You know, this account of what happened shows that, you know, he brought them through a literally fiery trial, right? Several times it says a burning fiery furnace. But what about the men who cast them in there? Yeah, they went through a fiery trial too. Well, they didn't get through it, did they? Okay. They were not followers of the true God. Okay. And so I think that, you know, this kind of illustrates, you know, that let me just kind of back up and say this. You know, and if we had read the whole story, you would see that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they understood that there was no guarantee that they were going to emerge, you know, unscathed with the fire. They just knew that God was able to bring them through. And but they also knew, you know, where they were going if they didn't. And, you know, and I think it's true in our lives. You know, sometimes you're faced with a trial and you can't see the way out, you know. If it was Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and Dave, okay, well, you know, I don't think I'd be able to see the way out, okay? And, but that happens with trials in our lives, you know? So what do? We just have to trust God. You know, sometimes you're going through a trial and you know it's not going to end tomorrow, okay? But you know what? You only have to go through it one day at a time, okay? And all the more reason why we need to be in prayer and in God's word on a daily basis, okay? Daily. And don't let any sin go unconfessed, okay? Before the day ends, we have to do that. You know, the world can put us in the fire, much like these three young... Well, so Brother Mel makes a great point, and he, you know, he read kind of the rest of the story that, you know, what God was doing there wasn't just for those three young men. It had a huge King Nebuchadnezzar as well, and how he dealt with the empire. Yep, and you know, which is consistent with what we've been saying all along in this study, that you know what. You are the biggest sermon that many people are going to get, okay? Because of what they see in your life and how you handle trials that you go through. And I would say, you know, to kind of key in on what Brother Mel said, that I think that King Nebuchadnezzar got a sermon out of these three. In fact, one might call it a fiery sermon, all right? And boy, you know what? Sometimes it's a fiery sermon is what gets people, you know, the Holy Spirit gets at their heart and really changes them. Sure did with King Nebuchadnezzar, now didn't it? Okay. That's why, you know what, I love good preaching. You know, we every Sunday and Wednesday night, and you know, pastor is Pastor Cook will just lay it on the line. You know, he's just going to preach it, and what you do with it is up to you, okay? But he'll present the truth of his word. And sometimes, yeah, it gets a little fiery, it gets a little hot in here, and that's okay, okay? If you don't get uncomfortable once in a while during the preaching, either your heart is really hard or the pastor's not doing his job, okay? So, you know, we just need to keep that in mind. But here's a promise that we have, you know, from God, okay? And to see this, I'll ask you to turn to Isaiah chapter 43. Isaiah chapter 43. All right, Isaiah chapter 43, verses 1 through 3. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. So just remember that. He's your Savior. Okay? He cares about you. He will get you through it. You just put your faith and trust in him. So go ahead, walk through the fire. And by the way, I don't mean to be careless in our lives, okay? So, you know, you probably heard me repeat this. President Reagan used to tell a funny little story about there was a fellow who was hiking. An old pastor was out hiking and whatnot. He got a little too close to the edge of the cliff, and he fell over the cliff, and but managed to grab hold of a limb on the way down. And as he was dangling above the canyon floor, he said, "Oh Lord, tell me what I should do." And well, just then he heard a booming voice coming from out of the heavens saying, "If you want faith, let go." Well, he looked down at the rocks 200 feet below, and then he looked back up and said, "Is there anyone else up there?" And, you know, so, no, we should be careful. It's true that we walk by faith and not by sight, but let's be real about that. Now, but here's the thing. You're safe because you're saved. Okay, doesn't mean that, you know, Christians cannot die prematurely, but it does mean that whenever they die, they go to heaven. Okay, so no matter how bad it gets, okay, and there are Christians, by the way, who have gone through trials only to happen at the end of the trial to have the privilege of being a martyr for Christ. Okay? And so that happens. And if that's what, you know, God has determined will be your destiny, there's a special crown for you when you get to heaven. Okay? And just know that if that should ever happen in your life, you're not alone. All throughout history, there have been martyrs for Christ. But you can emerge from the fire, the fiery trial that's in your life, and say with Job, "But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold," as it's written in Job 23:10. Okay? And so that's where we want to get to. We want to be able to say that at the end of a trial. Or if you're martyred, you can say it to the Lord yourself. Okay? All right. Well, our time is just about up. If there's any other questions or anything, we got just a few minutes for that. Otherwise, let's go ahead and bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your word which gives us assurance. And Lord, thank you for you and who you are. And if we put our faith and trust in you, then we have a Heavenly Father that looks out for us. And when trials come in our lives, it's done to make us stronger for you, to equip us better to serve you, and ultimately for you to be able to reveal further blessings in our lives. Now, Father, I pray that you dismiss us now, and Lord, please bless the church service this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.